Hey, it's Chuck Armstrong with Loudwire Nights, and this is Loudwire Nights On Demand. We got to hang out with Cody Canada talking all about cross-Canadian ragweed. This interview aired on Tuesday, June 16th. Enjoy. I'm excited to welcome tonight's special guest to the show. Last year, he joined us ahead of the massive sold-out shows in Stillwater, Oklahoma, celebrating the return of cross-Canadian ragweed. And since then, well, still been a lot of celebration for ragweed all over the country, and there is more to come. Cody Canada, man, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Chuck. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, brother. I'm good, and I love talking about ragweed, so I'm doing a lot better right now.
You know, I didn't used to, but now that's all. I'm just so excited that we're doing it again. Like 10 years ago, I was like, no, I don't think I'm going to do an interview this week.
Fair enough,
but now,
man.
It's all good.
Yeah, well, I mean, the last time we talked, it was a couple of weeks before you guys took the stage at Boone Pickens Stadium in Oklahoma for four back-to-back sold-out shows. And you've got those shows and several others under your belt. How's it feel, you know, a year later to be here celebrating not just the return of ragweed, but kind of this continued presence of the band?
Now, having everything back in place has been, I mean, it's probably been the best year of my life. You know, with, I can't really say that without saying the years that my kids were born, but, you know, just the, all around, just everybody's kids, everybody's wives, just watching everybody be so happy. And man, just talking about new music, you know, not even writing stuff yet, but just talking about stuff. And I don't know, just a future with this band again is awesome, you know. And then I find myself sitting at home for a week doing nothing, because I thought if we did some more ragweed shows, I wouldn't have to do as much. And then I realized I've been doing this for 30 something years.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do with my off time.
Fair enough,
but
man.
It's all good though, because I'm finding it. You know, I, as you and I were talking off camera, you know, I go to a lot of festivals with my kids and stuff, and being able to do the ragweed shows now, I get to do more stuff with my family. So, man, it's been a wonderful ride. It's been a little bipolar for me at times, because I do get restless sitting still.
Yeah, no, I understand that, man. And yeah, you've been doing this a long time, and even, you know, obviously when ragweed wasn't doing anything, you stayed very busy. And, but it is cool to hear you talk about, you know, a future and whatever that looks like. Cause I think, you know, a year ago when that first show in Stillwater got announced, you weren't sure what the response would be. And then you added mm-hmm. another show, and you added another show, and you added another show, and you played more of those shows, and you've got more shows this year. So yeah, you kind of see all of a sudden, like within the last year, that future looks a lot more possible.
Yeah. Yeah, it does, you know, and you know, I have some songs with the Departed that I wasn't in a rush to get out, because I'm not selling that many, you know. I don't know. I don't want to say that people weren't paying attention, but I kind of felt like some of those tunes were just, I mean, there's some Departed songs that I really, really had faith in, but I didn't have the momentum that ragweed did. So, you know, there might be some old songs that I bring back into the fold, but, you know, I haven't really done anything new in a minute. And I started writing right when a couple of tunes when ragweed got back together. So now there's that. We can use some of those. And I don't know, man. I don't want to just get everything on paper then go to a studio. I want to go sit somewhere with everybody and, you know, and have dinner and bullshit about what we're going to do and how we're going to approach this and with our producer. And I don't know. My wife said, let's get a record out pretty quick. It's like, yeah, I agree. But it's been 16 years. They can wait, and we can wait just for a little bit longer. I just want to make it right. I don't want to fuck it up.
Yeah, no, I get that, man. And I think that's fair. And yeah, like you said, I think fans will understand. And when the time comes, man, I'm guessing it will be received with pretty excited open arms, man.
I hope so. You know, I'm just trying to make sure I get the right tunes. And last night, my wife and I went to see the Gourds. It's a band that I've been a fan of for as long as over half my life. And I, you know, I haven't seen those guys play in probably 16, 17 years.
Yeah.
And hearing those old tunes, it really took me back to that part of my life where, you know, 2002, you know, where we were just writing and working. I think it was a good move going to that show last night. I got the creativeness going again.
I love that, man. I love the Gourds. Well, it seems like live music does that for you. Like it kind of gets you excited or gets you thinking. Cause you know, I think that was what sort of inspired even the return of Ragweed, right? Or the idea of playing one big show. You were at a show in New York with your son, right?
Yeah, with both my boys, Dirks and Willie. We went to see Trinity of Terror tour. And as Einstein was on, I went outside for something. But I knew that Billy Joel was up above us, you know, at Madison Square. And I don't know, you know, I just done so many shows all over the country where, you know, we got like 25 to 200 people. Some nights are light, some nights are heavy. And I thought, man, what if we had 20,000 people just one more time with Ragweed, you know? And that's where it really got to. I'd like to go there eventually. I told our booking agent, you know, if we could pull off a double headliner with Turnpike, that would be kick ass to do Madison Square.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just, I don't know. I love watching people have fun. You know, those festivals, just that one up at the Sonic Temple. I mean, that was like 80,000 people just forgetting about everything except for the moment, you know.
That's it, man. Yeah, for sure. And that definitely happens at Ragweed shows, and it's going to happen in July. You know, you're gearing up for this really special show at Red Rocks in Colorado, and that thing sold out fast, and it marks your first time headlining Red Rocks, right?
It is, yes. We were there with Dirks Bentley in 2006 as an opener, and this is our first one as us.
Man, and it's particularly special because you got your two sons and their band, Waves in April, opening the night at Red Rocks. And, you know, I know this isn't the first show where one of those sons joined you on stage to play with Ragweed. You know, that's happened in the last year. But is this the first time Waves in April and Ragweed have shared the stage properly?
It is. Yep, yeah, it is. They've done a lot of shows with the Departed, but this will be the first one that that they get to have direct support for their dad. the band before them is Grady Cross's boys.
That's right.
Spoken Oak. So yeah, we're all pretty stoked about it. We've been talking about it all week, you know, and watching other people's stages at Sonic Temple and thinking about what we could get away with at Red Rocks and stuff like that, taking notes, you know. It's a cool little family business we got going here.
Yeah, it is a family affair, man. I love it. And I love hearing that Waves in April have, you know, opened for the Departed because, you know, the music's different. Waves in April, I mean, it's heavy, it's intense, it's this, you know, metalcore, heavy rock, whatever, you know, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, just their presence on stage. I got to see them at Rocklahoma last year, and it's a lot of fun, and it is intense. And it's different than Ragweed, but you've had the experience of, you know, your fans with the Departed witnessing that open for you. What is that like? Like, what's that like for those fans to watch Waves in April open?
It really kind of depends where we're at. They opened up for us one night in Possum Kingdom, Texas. And I had, from that night on, I started doing this speech, you know, about, you know, it's okay to be different and blah, 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 and this and that, you know, basically just shut the fuck up and listen and don't be judgmental. That's what I wanted to say. I was short the whole fucking speech. But I started doing that with those guys because certain gigs, people wouldn't really appreciate it. But, you know, I felt like if we got closer to Oklahoma or closer to San Antonio, stayed away from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, people were more accepting to it. But, you know, when I told the boys when we first, you know, we first came down to like Larry Joe Taylor's and stuff like that, we were too rock and roll for that crowd. But I do understand that it's a drastic difference between young Ragweed where Waves is right now. But man, you know, one of my favorite things is when somebody comes up and says, it's not my style of music, but damn, they're talented, you know, so it's paying off for them.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I have to imagine. Yeah, I saw them at Rocklahoma last year. They're playing Rocklahoma again this year, which I can't wait for. I'm sure just as, you know, obviously as a musician, as a fan of music, but also as the dad, like, it's just got to be so cool to watch your kids doing this.
It is. Yeah. And I stepped back about a year ago. I stepped back. You know, I felt like every time I tried to help, it was me telling them what to do, which, it, you know, kind of probably, I guess. But I just don't want them to, I want them to do it right. I don't want them to hit the bumps that I hit, make the mistakes I made. But also it looks like I'm being a know-it-all and telling them what to do. So I step back, you know, and now really, I mean, if Dirks needs a guitar or Willie needs a drum key, you know, I'm the pageant dad on the side of the stage waiting.
Yeah, you're the roadie, man.
I'm just kidding. I'm fucked up in the crowds when I am.
I love that.
I'm joking.
Well, and I mean, obviously, dude, you've got a deep love of rock, you know, from Pearl Jam and Nirvana to Pantera and all of that. What, I'm curious, like, yeah, Ragweed has this rock and roll to it, man. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why I fell in love with the band. When I first saw you guys live, it just blew me away. But, you know, a different sound than maybe some of those bands, and a little Southern, you know, twang to it. And twang's not the right word, but, you know, a little feel to it. What drew you to making that sound, or as opposed to like heading down the path of grunge or heavier stuff?
You know, there never was a map. No. I never had a map. I met people that led me in a different direction. You know, my sister listened to really good rock and roll, and, you know, she's about 15 years older than me. And I was listening to a lot of Skynyrd when I was a little kid, you know, and, a lot of the Who, stuff like that. And, you know, my dad was always the haggard guy, still the haggard guy. And then, you know, my folks split when I was 13, and then that's when the grunge thing happened, and there was a bunch of pissed off people singing rock and roll, and I was at the right age.
Yeah.
And I was feeling the same way. And then, you know, I met Mike McClure, and it all just kind of worked together. I mean, the heavier guitar tones would work with the heavier lyrics, you know, or I'm sorry, the lighter lyrics, you know. So I don't know. There never was a roadmap. I liked what I liked, and took a little bit from what I heard.
Yeah, fair enough, man. And I do think that's why so many people are drawn to Ragweed and other bands like that. That, you know, you don't fit into a formula or anything like that. You play real music that you care about, and obviously then that helps other people connect to it.
Man, my little metalhead kids and my metalhead wife, I mean, we've seen everything from Robert Earl Keen to Sabrina Carpenter in the last 2 years, you know. I mean, that's,
yeah.
And, you know, on the back porch at night, it's everything from early Haggard to Tool, you know. I mean, it just or Sinatra Nights on the porch, you know. It just goes all over the place. We just love music. And if something, that's what I was talking, we were talking about the Gourds, you know, you can tell that they had different modes, you know. This song was in a different mode, you know. I think Kevin was listening to this when he wrote this, you know, and
yeah,
that's how
absolutely.
We are.
Dude, I get it, man. I'll put on Slipknot, and then I'll jump over to the Gourds, and I'll be just as happy, you know.
yeah. And the last few weeks, I'm the same way. But my kids, they'll get on a song, and we'll just listen to it over and over and over and over and over. Then we don't hear it again forever. But right now, Heaven Passing Through by Turnpike, my youngest boy Willie, he's 18. He'll play that, and then you'll pop right into the newest Motionless and White song where he. Tell whoever he's talking about, he's really, really mad at, you know. And then the other song is Evan just being sweet as he could be, you know. So, I mean, it's just being a fan of music.
Yeah.
And whatever mode you're in, I, you know, here recently I wrote a really, really country song. And then the one right before that was me leaning back into the Stone Temple Pilots influence, you know. So I think it's kind of whatever day you're having.
Yeah. No, yeah. How you're feeling when you wake up that day, man. And I love you bringing up that Turnpike song. I was at the last show last year of the Stillwater shows. And, you know, that was the weekend that they released their new album. And so they played that song, you know, for the first time that weekend. And it was, dude, I kind of get goosebumps just thinking about seeing that live. And then kind of like your son, I'll put that on and I'll just listen to it over and over and over and get all the lyrics down and, you know, try to figure it out. I love that, man.
Yeah, Willie's a drummer for Waves. He likes to dissect it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the new Ella Langley record, we were listening to this one song, and he goes, well, I think it's about a guy. He's like, I think this is a song about her connection to God. He's like, no, I don't think so. And then by the end of it, we're agreeing. He's like, oh, yeah, this is what it means. But that's what's awesome about it. That's what's awesome about music is dissecting it. That's the one thing. I know this is probably none of your questions, but that's the one thing I miss about lyrics and album art is you could open it up, you know, and read the lyrics instead of listening to it over and over and over and seeing who the song is dedicated to or whatever, you know, and it gives you a little more insight of who the band is or who the artist is.
Yeah, totally. Now, listen, I've got a wall of vinyl behind me, so I totally connect to that, man. And yeah, you know, holding it and yeah, sitting with it, listening to the music, reading the lyrics, all of that. It's it is sort of a lost thing these days, but sounds like you're raising your kids right.
I hope so. I feel like I am. They're very polite people.
Good, man. Yeah. Well, I got to spend some time with them at Rocklahoma, and they are, man, polite and excited and determined. Yeah. It seems, man,
they're very determined, very determined. I'll sit on the porch with them pretty much every night we're home. We have our porch nights, no matter if it's hot or if it's cold, you know, we sit out there and it's kind of the therapy sessions for the boys, and meaning all three of us. And you know, listening to them talk about what they're doing next and how they're doing it and how they're recording it. And it's not anywhere close the way I did it. That's why I stepped out, because it's like, if I step in and say, that's not how you do it, well, that's an ass move. You know, that's not how I did it. That's what I should have said, you know? So, but listening to how they, like last night, they came up to the studio here in New Braunfels and just until like 3 a.m. just programming stuff, you know? And I would come up here and watch every now and then. It's like, I don't get it, but I'm proud of you guys.
You
know?
I love
it. And I know they're going to be aware of this interview too. And I am very, very proud of y'all. And publicly, I will admit, I have no fucking idea what you're doing, but I'm proud of you.
That's it, man. That's all you need to say. I love it.
Right?
I'm curious, man. You know, you hinted at it at the beginning, you know, just this future of Cross Canadian Ragweed. Is this something that you're just kind of thinking about, or is this like, are you guys actively talking about, you know, what this looks like, maybe a full blown tour, a new album, that kind of stuff?
New music for sure. We're not working on that. I'm working on that. I've sent the guys some work tapes and stuff, but we haven't come. We don't even have, you know, rehearsals booked for that kind of stuff. I do want to have a, you know, 10 to 15 songs to choose from to do that. That's also in the future. Right now, I just want to play more shows. You know, I mean, I know that right now we're doing this nostalgia thing, as it's been called. But I just don't know how many people, you know, it's been 16 years. I mean, I think people want to hear old songs more than want to hear new songs, and give us a year or two of doing this nostalgic thing. And then we'll have a new record, and then we'll see what happens from there. But I'd like to do at least 7 shows a year, you know, just to satisfy the itch. And it's so fun. You know, when we first started, when we were teenagers, we had practiced 7 days a week. And then it got to the point where we were so busy, we didn't want to see each other when we were not on the road. And then we all moved away from each other, but we were still in a band. So there really wasn't any rehearsal time. Well, now the rehearsal times are like my favorite part again, you know, because for one thing, you know, it's, we're all 50 years old and we all got kids that are 20 or 21 in bands, you know, and it's just a big family gathering, you know. It's the craziest shit I've ever seen. It's redemption and forgiveness and all that shit is just fucking rad. I love it. And I love sitting and talking. I gave Grady's kid a guitar the other day. I'm talking about temperature change. You know, be careful when you play this guitar outside, you know, and just shit like that. And the last time I saw that kid, he was 5, yeah. You know, so it's all that's going to happen. The future's looking good for us, you know. But I don't want to get in a hurry, because we were in a hurry back then. You know, we were always had to get to the next gig. And there was really hardly any time to sit down and think. And now we got all the time we need. And I want to put together a good record. And I want us to sit down over dinner and go over things and get to the studio and see what we got. I do want to go back with Mike McClure again, because he was always the 5th Beatle.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's undeniably one of the best, man.
Yeah. I want to go out west. I want to go out east again. You know, I don't know. I just want to kind of hit as many places as we can. I don't want to do over 15 shows in the next 2 years. That sounds lazy, but you know, we've all been doing this for 30 years, you know, and being home a little bit is contagious.
Yeah. Well, and you know, if you can play a handful of shows and those shows are, you know, sold out stadiums and, or, you know, Madison Square Garden one day, like that's not a bad calendar, man.
Right. But yeah, I hope we can do it. And I appreciate everybody. I don't get on Instagram and stuff as much as I used to, but I just really appreciate everybody that gave us this opportunity. I honestly thought that we would sell 20,000 tickets in Stillwater and that was it. Just one show and peace and we were out. And you guys gave us, well, it's hopeful, you know, like we can, like I said, we're all like 50 years old now, so we can do this for a few more years.
That's right, man. That's right. Cody Canada, man, thank you so much for hanging tonight. I can't wait to catch you at Red Rocks. I might have to head to Lincoln too for the show in August. Listeners, stay caught up with Cross Canadian Ragweed at crosscanadianragweed.com. And Cody, it's always fun catching up, man. And hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And thank you for taking care of my boys and Waves in April.
That wraps up this episode of Loudwire Nights on Demand. Stay caught up with everything happening in the world of rock and metal on the Loudwire app and at loudwire.com.